Phoenix FM.
Good morning, Tony.
Hello there.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. We were just saying off air that, you saying you didn't realise there was two nines in a Saturday.
No, it's horrible. it's really horrible. This one in the morning is the most scary nine I've ever come across.
Well, it's kind of when you're touring or whatever you're doing, your sort of daytime stuff, that kind of thing. It's you have your set patterns, but the weekends, I suppose, if you're a performer, they kind of go out the window.
Yeah, well, for me, to be honest, I must admit that 9 o'clock in the morning at the weekends has always been a no-no for me. and even on the Comedy Clubs tour, I didn't get up before 10 o'clock. There was no way.
I don't suppose these things you can ever really get used to, especially when you're touring. So, I mean, obviously, some people embark on massive tours, and obviously that throws your cycle out. But you guys are sort of playing up and down the country in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we should be quite fun. Next week we're off, and we'll be linking up with Covenant, Analog Angel, and Cypherdyne in Manchester.
Oh, wow.
Then off to Newcastle. I think it's just Analog Angel and Covenant. Then whizzing down to Birmingham. I can't remember it. Sorry, whoever else is on at Birmingham. Sorry, can't remember.
Don't worry, I'll dig that out in a minute.
Yeah, then down to London, and I believe Mechanical Cabaret are linking up. And then down to Bristol, and Science Star are going to be then. Already been having a few conversations with the Science Star guys already and wished them luck. And We had a little chat when they had their last rehearsal, which I think was going really well.
Brilliant. So it's a slight change, I would say, to the last time we saw, or I particularly saw you guys in Baz way back in 2012. Extra members to the lineup, changes there?
Yeah, well, Mick is based up in Newcastle, yeah. And he does a label and he does radios DJing up there, and there's no way he could really carry on. We discussed it back in 2012, after we were going to do a Modern English tour,
yeah,
and it just wasn't tenable. So he kind of stayed involved, but kind of left the band actively. And then Jet came on as a replacement for him. And although people may not historically know this, in the past, for 3 years, Naked Lunch back in '80s did actually have a bass player.
Okay,
where we added extra bass to the bottom end, and we've done that again now because we're trying to go for that more. How can I put it? That post-punk live feel.
When you recently played in London, you played along with ZZ Sputnik. Now they've kind of have a similar kind of punky attitude to the stage performance as well as their sound. Have they influenced you guys at all in the way you come back, or has it been a sort of, you know, we're just going down our own road with, you know, that kind of thing?
I was just going down our own road, but I did say to Martin, I forgave him for my ex-wife. My ex-wife was a friend of his. And he's a nice guy. We had a laugh. And he tried to give his coat to Jet because she was cold. Seriously, it was a really good gig because we were all in the dressing room together and we all got on really, really well. And you can see from that photograph with us all together, when the photographer asked to take a picture of us all, because we were all joking about and all getting on really, really nicely.
It's a really sort of, I mean, it's a hard thing to do when you actually do tour with people and that, and then you, or you play a venue with somebody, because I've had the pleasure of being able to interview a few bands. When you go backstage, you know, sometimes it's not as salubrious as people think, and it's not as much room as you think. It's usually like a broom cupboard with a mirror on the wall, and that's it. So you have to kind of get on with the other people, even if you've never met them before, and it's a bit stressy, I suppose.
Yeah, you have to sort of go with the rough and the smooth. And you have to try to sort of like forget about egos and just get on, because it's, although people see the bit where people perform, there's a lot of work that goes into it, not just getting to the gig, the setting up, the sound checking, the taking it all the way. It's all the stuff going on backstage where you're trying to find out where can you get changed, where can you do this, at the same time without not trying to stress out the other bands, not trying to stress yourself out, and bearing in mind it's a complete show and you need to all get on. And with the Combi Christ tour, it went quite well.
Yeah. Has it been any different since those back in the early days, from the start of the 80s, when, you know, you was out and about, you know, playing gigs then to now? Has it changed at all, or do you think it's about the same?
I think it's changed a little bit. It's whereby I'm not so sure that there's that many venues around now, and the live scene is as healthy as it used to be. And it's something that that I do think about is why and how, and how can you actually make live gigs more entertaining and interesting for people to want to go to them. People need to realise that just having a download, just watching a video, just listening to a record isn't quite the same as a live experience, and actually going there and feeling it. It's being there with all the people, being hot and sweaty.
Yeah, I mean, you hit two words in experience and feeling. When you're at a gig, even though I hate the fact, and I've done it myself, I do take pictures on my phone when I'm at a gig, but, you know, there's people there filming the kind of thing. Well, at least, I suppose, they're embracing it a little bit, you know. That changes, I'll go with it, but at least they're there. But for people who are not going to enough gigs and the venues to think, oh, it's not worth putting on a gig, let's just have a disco or something like that, you know, it's a pity.
Yeah, and if you go to a gig and they've got a good PA, you're getting all the bottom end as well. It's where you feel it in your body, and you're actually, your body's moving to the rhythm. And then you've got the light shows, whatever, however they're doing the ambience of it. And then hopefully you're getting sort of moved along by the other people around you, and you get this whole feel.
Definitely.
Because obviously, coming from all the punk thing, I'm really into live gigs. And the fact that live gigs should be something that you embrace and really get into.
Yeah, a lot of artists, including yourself, are very interactive with the audience as well. It's not a case of, you know, there's almost an invisible shield between them. The shields are broken down with a lot of acts, and they do interact with the actual audience. So you're getting loads more for it if you're seeing them live. That's the way I see it, anyway.
Yeah, but drag is what I found. It's like when we did the Coco Club, and even up in Preston, and I think they did it in Newcastle as well. You have these great big screens stuck across the front of the stage, so that keeps the audience back.
Yeah,
and you have these photographers who can go back towards and take photographs. I'm thinking, like, what?
Yeah,
you know, why is this gap between you and the audience? I personally don't like that, and I've been told it's done for safety. I'm thinking, well, it's a bit naff, really.
Yeah, I can see the safety element with the pit, as you're talking about, where they have security guards milling around and pulling people, get crushed if they get pushed to the front. I can see that, but, you know, it's a big old gap, and it's just a big old gap to allow photographers half the time, really.
Yeah, and it stops you being able to actually get down between the foldbacks, stick your hand out and pat someone or touch them, etc. We did a gig recently with the department you just played, Hello Rob. Magnus, and it was done in Stockwell. An awesome thing was it was a small gig, but we did it because there's none of that stuff stopping the audience getting to you. And in that gig, I was actually, I remember the audience hanging up a scarf, putting it around my neck. I was patting Magnus, who was thanking us for playing the theme, and there was a total interaction between us and the audience, which was much, much better.
That kind of reminds me of one of the things I was saying about earlier about unfortunate accidents on stage, and one of the guys listening in said that when he saw Toya, she closed her eyes to sing a high note, and someone squirted cream into her face. So sometimes the interaction's not quite the way you want it, but there you go. She laughed it off, apparently.
Well, interactive. When we did the 2002 review tour those years ago, and it was the Liverpool one, and I think there's probably about 2,000 people on there. We came on stage. Interactive sat. All the road crew had changed the banana. And I'm going, okay, great. Okay, well, I'm eating the banana. Where's the microphone? And they also leaped up, and they had made like a shaving foam with makeup thing, flan, which they put in my face. And there's all this sort of stuff going on. And it was fun. It won't be happening on this tour, though.
No. People buy the boards. So as well as so after Covenant, there are other gigs planned? What's coming up as well there?
Yeah, well, we're going to be doing a really nice intimate one at the Hope and Anchor, and that was for a specific reason, because we played there back a long time ago, as did Depeche Mode, as did The Loved One and various other bands that were on the Sun Bizarre album prior to the Sun Bizarre album coming out. And we've got Cronus Titan, Per and his colleague flying over from Norway for that.
Okay.
And the department on as well, and Magnuson comes from Sweden. And it'll be a small, intimate gig, which will be more like a party, to be honest, because, we're going to have all the visuals in there and have it whereby the people can interact with us. So we're going to run it like a party.